A marketing and promotions company called Promotion Concepts created this campaign for the company known as KitchenAid. What was this? This was their objective: to motivate appliance dealer salespeople to recommend and sell KitchenAid cooking, cleaning, and refrigeration products. What was their strategy and execution? A unique footwear-themed incentive program that awarded salespeople points redeemable for quality boots, shoes, and inline skates for selling KitchenAid major appliances. The program, created by Promotion Concepts, kicked off with a direct mail teaser campaign that included a shoehorn, shoe polish, and a shoe cloth. The campaign promised to put salespeople in a new pair of shoes when they put a shine on their sales by selling KitchenAid products. Their results? Well, the brand experienced an 18% increase over the previous year's same period sales. That wasn't all. Promotion Concepts came up with this called Elsie the Cow Bendable Offer. Promotion Concepts' objective was to reintroduce Borden's, many of you remember Borden with the cow, to reintroduce Borden's iconic cow mascot to a new generation of consumers. What was their strategy and execution? Well, Promotion Concepts created a promotion that brought Elsie back to consumers after a 28-year absence. A custom, bendable, plastic commemorative toy was offered free in the mail with three proofs of purchase of Borden single-wrapped cheese slices. Their results? More than 125,000 bendables were mailed to consumers, representing over 500,000 pounds of cheese. Sales increased more than 33% and remained strong even after the promotion ended. Promoting products and concepts always prompts a decision. Folks, welcome to the world of marketing and advertising. It's a world that I typically have to live in on a daily basis, and today we're going to let you take a peek into this world. Make no mistake about it. While money and products drive advertising, man and his concepts on how to sell and solicit and promote a product, service, or event drives promotion. Now, while I'm guessing that most of us have never been advertisers, we probably haven't spent a lot of money to sell a big product, we have more than likely and maybe even unknowingly been at one time or another a promoter. Now, I've known both. I've worked with both, and oftentimes I function as both. Advertisers are typically business people, but promoters, they don't have to be that. But I can tell you this, promoters are passionate, driven people. And I am guessing that at one time or another, all of us have been passionate about promoting something that we believe in. Let's face it, folks, we do it with restaurants all the time. You go out and you have a good meal, you can't wait to call your neighbor, get on Facebook, tell them what you're doing and where you've been and how great that food was. We do it with vacation destinations. I was at our school the other night and a guy came up and he said, "Hey, I got to show you something." Went over and he pulled up on his phone pictures of his vacation destination in Florida. I got to see every single square inch of his condo that he stayed in for the course of a week. It took 20 minutes. I've never, ever been more acclimated with a place in my life. We do it with movies. We do it with car dealerships. We do it with products. We understand the world of promoting. A new hair salon opened for business right across the street from Leo's, the town's long-established barbershop. The owners of the new salon put up a big, bold sign that advertised, "We give $7 haircuts." Not to be outdone, old Leo the barber, with 40 years of experience, put up his own sign that advertised, "We fix $7 haircuts." Well done, Leo. We would never do that here at Covell. With the experience that we have in promoting products and events and concepts and services, I question and I consider how passionate we are about promoting God and His kingdom. Now, that word kingdom is important because in 1994, my wife and I were married. You can start doing the math. You can figure out how long we've been married. But in 1994, we took our honeymoon to Magic Kingdom. And it was magical. I've never been to Disney World, but I love Disney World. It only took one time for me to realize that that is the place that I truly loved going to. So when we came back, that was our first point of inference and reference, was to get out and promote Magic Kingdom to everybody we knew. And my first point of contact was my brother. He'd never been there. And I said, man, you've got to experience Magic Kingdom. And so what we did is we surprised my brother and his wife and little Logan, who's now Big Logan, and we flew them down to Magic Kingdom because we wanted to promote Magic Kingdom to them, and what better way to do it than allow them to experience it themselves. The point is that we know something about promotions. Paul knew something about promotions. Paul was a promoter. In fact, if we read Romans 11, 33 through 36, you're going to hear Paul promoting someone who is very important to him. Listen to this. He says, oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are his wisdom, knowledge, and riches. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and methods. For who among us can know the mind of the Lord? Who knows enough to be his counselor and guide? And who could ever offer to the Lord enough to induce him to act? For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. To him be glory evermore. Now, Paul addresses and promotes many of the attributes that God possesses, and he was good at it. It is interesting to note that Paul focused much of his preaching on these particular godly things that he promoted constantly: wisdom, knowledge, riches, methods, decisions, power, glory. You see, because Paul knew God personally, he was better able to promote him effectively. And so I ask this, how well do we know God and his son, and are we able to do the same thing that Paul did? In essence, do you know God so well? Do you know the concept, the service, the event, the product? Do you know God so well that you can promote him well? What do churches advertise when they advertise? You ever thought about that? You ever look in the paper and see an advertisement from a church? It doesn't happen often. We have the top advertiser of the year, or the salesperson of the year from the Pantograph in our congregation today. So she knows a lot about advertising. And typically churches will advertise normally two times a year, Christmas time and Easter time. And normally churches will advertise their church. They will advertise their facility, their services, their events. They will advertise a concept, a concert. They will advertise things that happen inside their church. Let me ask you this. Are we as believers promoting, not necessarily advertising, but promoting our church? Are we as believers promoting God inside and outside of the church? You see, we're not going to be taking advertisements out. We're not going to be calling our local media outlets and saying, listen, I want to buy some advertising to talk about my church, but you will have opportunities to promote God, and you'll have opportunities to promote your church. And it's exactly what God asks. It's exactly what Paul did. And we have a responsibility to do this each and every day inside and outside of our church. One cannot search Scripture without being convicted of the very attributes that God possesses that should be promoted by his followers. Notice the word should. You see, believers, sadly, aren't always promoters. In fact, many believers might prefer an advertising campaign in a newspaper over promoting God to others. It's not easy. And in many cases, people say, I would never know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how this is done. It's easier for me to let somebody else talk about, advertise, promote God in the church over me. This is not an easy task. David, like Paul, was one of the greatest godly promoters of his time. In 1 Chronicles 16, 7 through 36, it's a passage depicted as the choral psalm of praise, or David's psalm of thanks. We can see and hear the act of David and the Levites praising and promoting God. Now, I'm going to warn you, this is a long passage. But what I want you to do is I want you to hear the words. This is a song. It's a song that should resonate within us. But I want you to hear how David promotes God. Listen to this, starting with verse 7. At that time, David began the custom of using choirs in the tabernacle to sing thanksgiving to the Lord. Asaph was the director of this choral group of priests. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and pray to him, they sang. Tell the peoples of the world about his mighty doings. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises and tell of his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let all rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Yes, seek his strength and seek his face untiringly. O descendants of his servant Abraham, O chosen sons of Jacob, remember his mighty miracles and his marvelous miracles and his authority. He is the Lord our God. His authority is seen throughout the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the words he commanded to 1,000 generations, his agreement with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and his confirmation to Jacob. He promised Israel with an everlasting promise. I will give you the land of Canaan as your inheritance. When Israel was few in number, oh so few, and merely strangers in the promised land. When they wandered from country to country, from one kingdom to another, God didn't let anyone harm them. Even kings were killed who sought to hurt them. Don't harm my chosen people, he declared. These are my prophets. Touch them not. Sing to the Lord, O earth. Declare each day that he is the one who saves. Show his glory to the nations. Tell everyone about his miracles. For the Lord is great and should be highly praised. He's to be held in awe above all gods. The other so-called gods are demons, but the Lord made the heavens. Majesty and honor march before him. Strength and gladness walk beside him. O people of all nations of the earth, ascribe great strength and glory to his name. Yes, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord when clothed with holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world stands unmoved. Let the heavens be glad, the earth rejoice. Let all the nations say, it is the Lord who reigns. Let the vast seas roar. Let the countryside and everything in it rejoice. Let the trees and the woods sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love and his kindness go on forever. Cry out to him, oh, save us, God, of our salvation. Bring us safely back from among the nations. Then we will thank your holy name and triumph in your praise. Blessed be Jehovah, God of Israel, forever and forevermore. And all the people shouted, amen. And praise the Lord. That's a lot of promoting, folks. Now, can you imagine if we did that today in the church? Can you imagine if we came in with that same kind of passion? If we sung songs like that? If we talked about God like that? Can you imagine if we were committed to promoting God in that way inside and outside the church? David understood it. David did it. Look at 8 and 23 and 24 of that passage. Verse 8. Tell the peoples of the world, 23, declare each day he's the one who saves. 24, tell everyone about his miracles. Man, if we did that, can you imagine what would happen in this world today? Walter B. Knight shares this story. It says, one Sunday morning in 1856, a congregation of well-dressed people had been ushered to their rented pews in Chicago's Plymouth Congregational Church. Suddenly, there was a commotion near the door. Many turned and looked. Something occurred which had never before been seen by that elite congregation. In walked a young man, a 19-year-old salesman. Following him was a motley group of tramps and slum people and alcoholics. The young man led them into four pews he had personally rented for the visitors. He continued to do this important work each Sunday until God called him into a worldwide ministry. Walter B. Knight asked, you want to know the name of that young man? Dwight L. Moody. Moody was a believer. Moody was a promoter. After being seized and jailed by the Jewish council and temple police, Peter and John, prior to their release, addressed their captors in Acts 4, 19 and 20, and they said this. They said, you decide whether God wants us to obey you instead of him. We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we saw Jesus do and heard him say. You know what Peter and John were saying? Say, you do whatever you want to us, but we are going to continue to promote Jesus, and you can't stop. They were promoters, and they couldn't be stopped. They wanted to share and tell of who Jesus is and who he was. Paul said in Philippians 1:11, may you always be doing those good, kind things which show that you are a child of God, for this will bring glory to the Lord. Telling, sharing, showing. Jesus said in Matthew 5:15 and 16, one of my favorite passages, he says, don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see so that they will praise your heavenly Father, telling, sharing, showing, shining. That's called promoting. The question is, when we are in this church, when we're outside of this church, are we telling, sharing, showing, and shining? Are we promoting God and His Son? Big hair on the air. The Red Dog Hog Roast. I didn't have a hand in this one. I just assisted. That was not my idea. The Great Dog Tag Giveaway. That was mine. Armchair Quarterback. Mine. Battle of the Bands. These were all the events that I promoted when I ran radio stations. Big hair on the air. I actually hosted that one. I had hair at that time. The Golf Illinois Passbook. The Golf Illinois Priority Club. Things that promoted our golf magazine when I had a golf magazine. The McLean County Senior Expo. The Bloomington Normal Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate Festival. The Movie Screening Spectacular. All things that promote our funeral homes as we partner with our communities. Concepts, products, services, events. I promote these. We promote these. Let me ask you this. Do we promote Him? It's easy to do it when your employer asks you to do it. It's easy to do it when your family asks you to do it, but sometimes it's not as easy to do it when your church or your pastor or God asks you to do it. Are we promoting God in all that we say and do? Tony Evans shares this thought. He says, we all grew up in school having to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Day after day, we would begin our school day saying, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Evans goes on, he says, our school teachers would lead us or they would come across the PA system. The whole school would be reciting it together as a daily reminder of where our national commitment lies. We were being reminded at every turn about the awesome privilege it is to enjoy the freedoms of America and to commit ourselves to loyalty to the country. Before sporting events, the Star-Spangled Banner becomes a musical reminder of a commitment to a country and a flag and a constitutional republic that is the essence of this democracy. This is not just done as a routine, it's done as a reminder of what the privileges are. As flawed as some of the aspects of our nation may be, this song and this pledge are a reminder of our commitment to be an American. In a similar way, says Evans, Jesus Christ asked His followers to make a pledge of allegiance, a statement of commitment to be both identified and associated with Him, if in fact we claim Him as our Savior. He has asked us to make it known that we are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. He invites us to come out of the closet and go public. He invites us to stop being secret agent Christians and CIA followers. He invites us to be clear and articulate representatives of Him, end quote. And that means, according to Tony Evans and others, we got to promote. We got to promote God. We got to promote His church. We've got to promote Christianity. Now more than ever. Paul said in Acts 22:15, he says, you are to take His message everywhere. Not just anywhere, everywhere. See, promoters are fearless, hard workers. It's easier to be an advertiser. It is. I can tell you it is. It's easier to pay someone else to share it and show it, shine it, tell about it. It's not as easy to go out and promote it yourself. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7-8, he says, for the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. If you will stir up this inner power, you will never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. No wonder Jesus said in Acts 1:8, as He addressed His disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about Me. Are we testifying about Him? Are we willing each day to promote Him? You see, the Holy Spirit indwells and fills believers. And believers are called, like David in our sermon text, like Paul in our New Testament texts, to be promoters. G.H.C. McGregor once said this. He says, a Spirit-controlled life gives us a new power and boldness in witnessing for Christ. The question is, are we willing? Many people would say yes, but the church's dynamics and statistics would say no. I love what James Kennedy says. He says, my great passion for America is twofold. First, that every believer would be absolutely faithful to the Great Commission as found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then that every believer would take seriously the challenge to reclaim this nation for Christ. If we become engaged, if we carry out the cultural mandate of the church, there is no reason that we cannot reclaim our heritage of faith and freedom and see this nation renewed. Do you want it? We're losing the battle, folks. We're losing the war. Where has Christianity gone? We've said, we'll just advertise. God says, no. You need to promote. Many of our nation's greatest promoters are not believers. And they're succeeding. And they're winning. And the church is losing. You say, that can't be true. Folks, the statistics don't lie. The church is in a downward spiral today more than ever because the church has said, we're not willing to promote the very God that we worship and the church that we worship in. We're losing the war. We are losing the battle. Folks, if we're going to reclaim our heritage of faith and freedom and give this nation renewal, this won't be done by advertising, but it will be done by promoting. By promoting God to a godless culture and people, we got to share Him, we got to talk about Him, we got to shine Him, and we got to show Him. Our work is to promote Him. Earlier we said that man and his concepts can promote a concept, a product, a service, or an event. And the question is, how are these things affixed to God? And can I tell you, in the world of promoting, it works, and it can be affixed to God. The concept that we promote is God's will for man. The product that we are called to go out and promote is God's word for man. The service that we promote is God's grace given to man. And the event that we promote is how man can be saved and enter eternal life, a promise made to every believing and saved woman and man. It's up to us to promote this. The church should help us do this. And let me tell you what I mean by that. If we're going to be promoters and we're going to go out and we're going to promote this concept of God's will, let me tell you how that works. You're going to be able to go out and promote. You're going to be able to tell others and you're going to be able to share with others that God's will be done when you trust and believe in Him. He's got a plan for you and He's got a plan for me. And folks, you can even say, I don't even understand it. I just live by it. Sometimes I'm amazed by it. When you promote God's word, and a lot of people have got this all wrong, especially in the church, they're promoting all kinds of different things that have absolutely nothing to do with God's word. Shame on the church and the people in the church if they're doing this. When we promote God's word, we tell others. We live by God's word. We make decisions by God's word. We are here today because of God's word, because it leads us and teaches us and guides us. The service that we promote is God's grace. And what we can say when we're promoting God's grace is this. We can say, just like Paul said, I don't deserve it. I am the worst of all the sinners. I can't believe that God cared enough for me to show me the grace given to me to allow me to be saved. And then that leads to, finally, the event. Man, we've got it wrong, folks. We as churches have done this for so long, and we've done it wrong. We said the only way to bring people into the church is to create events. Let's create more events because we don't have enough events. And I can tell you one thing, you need one event. One event. One event will move people to the church and belief in Jesus Christ. You know what that event is? That event is us leaving this earth and living eternally with Jesus Christ. Promote that event. I did a seminar last week for Money Smart Week. And I talked about the advantages of funeral pre-planning and the ways insurance works. And I looked at these people and I said, folks, listen, we're really good at planning for disasters. Think about it. We got home insurance, health insurance, fire insurance, tornado insurance. We got it all. We're ready for disasters. And I couldn't go where I wanted to go because it was a secular event. This guy comes up and he says, you're a pastor, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, man, that had to be tough. And I said, you have no idea. He said, I was so wanting you to go down that road. He said, I understand why you couldn't. He said, I so wanted you to go down that road. And I said, just know I was thinking about it. The fact is, folks, we prepare ourselves for every single major event, but we got to prepare ourselves and others for the greatest event. And that's when we leave this earth. That is what we promote. I knew two guys, one guy in a company, worked with him closely. Guy's name I'll never forget. He's probably the best golden tee golf player I've ever seen. He was a promoter. I worked with him exclusively in our Champaign and Decatur radio stations. He was a promoter. Man, was he a promoter. Brought in all the big acts, did all kinds of events. I love this guy. Another company is still active today. They're a very large company. I knew them very well. As a matter of fact, I knew the president of the company, and he brought a lot of the biggest acts into Champaign and Decatur when we were doing that. But it was funny because both of these individuals, one guy, I mean, barely making it, a big company that was making it, had similar characteristics. Here's what would happen. They would always say that they would want to spend a small amount on advertising. That always happened. They'd come to me and say, we don't have much money. We got this big event. What can you do for us? Then came the next thing. They would ask us to spend a large amount of time promoting their event. Never seemed to equal itself out. And they said, you know, Chad, you know how this works. You know, you promote the event through those free promotional announcements that you give. You know it's called word of mouth. I used to laugh. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. But promoting God works the same way. But many churches have chosen a different approach. They spend a large amount of money on advertising. They spend a small amount of time promoting. And sadly, the church stops growing. And today we're seeing it, that God's kingdom and the church has stopped growing. Why is that? It's because we are not promoting. You see, today's church needs promoters, believers who believe in that concept of word of mouth. We're just going to put a little spin on it. You see, we need believers who promote God's word through their mouths. Believers who promote God's will, God's word, God's grace, God's church. Believers who share with and show others how and what it looks like to be saved. Believers who share and shine and show God in all that they do every single day. Men like the late NFL great Reggie White and PGA golfer Bernard Langer were brought to Christ by someone who promoted God to them. Former St. Louis Cardinal Colby Rasmus. Many of you, if you're a baseball fan, know that Colby Rasmus was not the best guy on the team. As a matter of fact, nobody really liked him. Former St. Louis Cardinal Colby Rasmus, now a Christian, claims that former Cardinals Lance Berkman and Albert Pujols and current Cardinals Matt Holliday and Adam Wainwright cared enough about Colby Rasmus to promote God to him. And now Colby Rasmus, outfielder, Houston Astros, is saved because of them. It wasn't by way of advertisement. Actually, it was done through the Holy Spirit. And Colby Rasmus' life is now changed. And I tell you this, there are other lives that need to be changed. But how will they be changed if we do not promote God and this church and His word to them? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to share and show and shine God's word through you? Will you use God's word in your mouth to promote God to the ungodly? Folks, advertising never expanded the church. Promoting did. God's people promoting God to all people. We must ask ourselves this today. Are we promoters of God? Are we willing to be promotional kind of people? This is a big decision, folks, for every single one of us that sit in this congregation today. What are you willing to do? How are you willing to live before your coworkers, your family members, and your friends each and every day? God says, you're a believer. I need you to be a promoter. Let's stand and close with hymn number 656. Take time to be holy. Well, I don't have to look too far, folks, to see what being a promoter can do. And I look and I've got Pat and Lori Nelson. Met Pat and Lori at the McLean County Senior Expo, fell in love with these two. And these two are the two of my favorite people. And the fact that Lori and I get to share the world of advertising together. By the way, you are now my rep. You realize that for the Senior Expo. Okay, good. And then also, there was this guy that was in my house when we were building our house. And this guy was our plumber. And I just fell in love with him and his family, but especially with Jerry, because Jerry was the first guy I met. And I just thought, Jerry, I promoted God, but I don't think I Did I really just beat him into you at any point? Okay, I did. All right. Okay. Man, all right. And today, you know, we love the Butlers, but we get to share with the Butlers not only a friendship and not only our Seinfeld comparisons, but we also get to enjoy the fact that they're Christians, they're believers with us. Folks, this is what promoting does. This is, you look around and you see how this church has grown. It's because you promoted to someone God. And because of that, they're here today. That's what we're called to do, and that's what's so neat about it. So my goal today is this: as we leave this church, think about this. Think about those that you know. Think about those that you can share with. But remember this: we have a responsibility to promote Jesus. And when you do this, you will allow growth in this church. You'll also see growth within your own self, because you'll see what God's purpose is for each and every one of us. And praise God that this church has grown because of our promoters. Now we just got to keep doing it. We got to do it better. We have a world to reclaim, folks. We need a nation that is steeped in faith. All you got to look at is the news, and you see we can't lose this battle, and we're losing this battle. It's time to step up. It's time to be promoters. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, today we declare we've got to promote you. We know this. You've called us to do this, and I pray today that you will stir in us this faith, this desire, this passion to talk about Jesus with people that we come in contact with and meet. I pray that you will help us to grow in our strength and faith so that we can do this. Help us to do it when we're at restaurants, when we're at home, when we're at work. Help us to be able to share this in all that we say and do. And I pray today that we will be worthy promoters as well as strong and faithful believers. Go with us. Keep us safe today, we pray. Help us to impact the people around us in all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.